Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This episode is 136.
Recorded on October 24th, 2012.
So greetings, Aquarimaxers. You may have noticed that Kelly is not here. Those were different voices you heard. Our daughters, Laurelyn and Gwen, are guest hosts today, because Kelly wasn't able to make it, and they were very excited about being guest hosts. So, welcome to Laurelyn and Gwen.
Carlos in New York.
Matt in Perth, Australia.
And David in Colorado. Okay, well, let's first hear from Carlos. This was a post he made on Facebook. He said, "I just want to tell you how proud I am to be a member of Team Betta." Well, we're glad that you joined the team, because otherwise we couldn't have done it. "I'm in the process," he continues, "of conditioning a pair for spawning. That's great to hear about your successful spawn, and the interviews with the kids are great. I feel for Isaac. Those butterflies, Cambodian's marbles, are tricky to predict." Indeed. We've had several that have appeared to, you know, start manifesting those traits later on, so we have more butterflies than we thought we did. In fact, we had one male recently, really nice male. Pure white, kind of iridescent sheen to him, except for the butterfly that's starting to show up on all his fins. And it seems like it'll be very symmetrical and sort of a star-like pattern that sort of follows the rays of the caudal fin out towards the distal end of the caudal fin in an interesting way. And that one we actually sold. We've sold a couple of them, just two so far, a male and a female. And they went to really great homes because the owners, we prepped them and made sure they knew what to do, and they brought pictures. This is what our setup looks like. What do we need to do to fix this and everything? So it turned out to be a very happy situation. So and these were the first bettas that we sold, so the kids got their money from it. What do you think, kids?
Great. I like finally having money.
Great.
So that was part of the whole thing. It was going to be their science project, and hopefully they'd earn a few dollars out of it, and they have already, so there you go. And hopefully they'll get some more, too. Okay, so we have jarred, let's see, 25 males by now? Is that right? We've jarred 25 males, and we've had some beautiful fish show up. The comb-tail development's been really nice. The comb-tails just have a little bit of a sort of scalloped edge to their fins, but not a whole lot of long streamers or anything like that, so they look really nice. Yes, Gwen.
I forgot
this. Okay, well, maybe it'll come back to you. Okay, well, one thing, too. The fish are growing pretty fast, but I'm worried a little bit about stunting just because we have so many in the main tank and stuff. And I've seen pictures of some of them that get a little bigger. I mean, they're developing fast. There are some males that look just like miniature adults, basically, and we have a video of them flaring, which you can see on the show page, so check that out. Yes, Laurelyn.
Stunting?
Stunting can mean where the fish don't grow as much as they should, or as fast as they should, because of some situation. Yes? Go ahead, Laurelyn.
My science experiment is changed, and so now it's something that has to do with stunting, or whatever it's called, with water changes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So they release a hormone into the water, and so that stops them from growing. And so if you change the water more often, it makes them grow more. And so now I'm changing my fish's water two times a day instead of just one.
Yeah, I think that was a great choice, and it sounds like you'll have some interesting results we hope to see from that. Yeah, so even though ours have been growing quite a bit, I'm just wondering if they're not growing at their maximum potential. But they seem to be doing fine as long as they're growing, and they are. And we're doing a lot of water changes. It seems to be a good thing. And as I was mentioning, we got a video of some males flaring at each other as part of our son Xander's experiment. So make sure to check that out on the show page, too.
I remember what I was going to say.
Yes, Gwen, go ahead.
Betas, when they were a bit littler, kept on bonking each other on purpose on the mouth.
Yes, yes. And now they still sometimes do that. But we're trying to get all the males out of the tank.
Yep.
We're just running out of space. but the males will do that. Running out of space, but you know, Gwen's been great at the vacuuming. She loves to vacuum. She's been vacuuming a lot of the aquarium bottom, haven't you, with the siphon?
Yep.
You've done a good job with that. Okay.
It's fun.
It is. We're going to go to Matt in Perth, Australia now. So thank you, Carlos, and I hope your spawn is going well. Matt says, hello, Aquarimax. The 120-centimeter tank is now looking better. The water changes and scraping off the algae from the glass are finally starting to work. Isn't that a relief when it finally starts paying off? It's nice to know that it's working out. It says, I will try the techniques you suggested soon. So maybe some of those will give some additional benefit. Okay, well, he says that, in response to our question about what lighting the tank had, he said a 1.2 meter long double tube fluorescent light. Okay, and that sounds like a pretty reasonable situation for this tank, because you need if you're not going to do CO2 injection and so on, you don't want too high light, or else you'll get a lot of algae growth. And this might be, I mean, it's obviously enough to fuel this algae growth, but there's a balance between enough light and nutrients and so on to be struck, and it sounds like you're aware of that. He's also attached a photograph of the tank when it had fewer and different fish in it when the algae problem wasn't occurring, probably in part because of the lower bioload, because of the fewer fish. So we'll put that up. It's a nice setup and looks like a beautiful and fun tank. So thanks for sending that in. He has a new question. Matt has a 60-centimeter by 35-centimeter by 35-centimeter tank that is empty. And an empty tank, as we all know, is a great temptation. And by the way, for those of you who might be wondering exactly the size of this tank, it's approximately a 20-gallon, U.S. 20-gallon tank. If you know, you're not quite as conversant in centimeters as most of the rest of the world is. So I must admit that I myself fall into that category, but I converted this and found that it was approximately 20 gallons. So there you go. He's got this empty tank and he wants to fire it up again, but he doesn't know what to put in it. He wants to put something small enough that will reach its maximum size in the small tank. He also wants to grow plants in it that he will then transfer to the big tank when he has too many plants. So ideally, the fish wouldn't get much bigger than 5 centimeters, which is about 2 inches. And he doesn't want to overpopulate the tank to ensure that he
doesn't get another algae situation to fix. And of course, that's some great planning ahead. And he was wondering if we had any suggestions from our experience of a good small tank fish or invertebrate that does not eat plants or dig them up. Oh, Gwen has a comment.
What about just a couple girl bettas?
Well, you know, a betta sorority could be a good idea for that tank.
Do girl bettas fight?
Girl bettas kind of argue a little bit, but they don't fight like males. They squabble a little bit, but they could be okay. They could do well. I wouldn't put just two in. I would put more than two, maybe somewhere between 3 and 9 in the tank. But yeah, that's a great idea, Gwen. I like your idea. A betta sorority, just some female bettas.
Would girl bettas spawn without a boy?
Well, sometimes they will lay eggs. Mm-hmm. So they will spawn in a sense, although, of course, the eggs can't hatch. You need the boy for the eggs to hatch. But yeah, sometimes we had one of our listeners, Robert in Boston, talked about that. One of his female bettas spawned by herself. So yeah, sometimes it happens. We have some other suggestions too. I was thinking celestial pearl danios. Now, they need to be kept on the cool side if you want them to spawn. You can keep them a little warmer to sort of reduce the amount they'll spawn, because they are a very prolific fish. But then, unlike some other fish, they will eat a lot of their babies and or eggs, enough so that you won't get a really big population in there. They won't just fill a tank like guppies would, for example. So there's a fun little fish that will certainly grow to full size, and you can have quite a number of celestial pearl danios in a 20-gallon tank without, you know, taxing the bio load at all. So that could be a good way to go. Maybe some small resboras or tetras. A lot of different species you could go with that would be fine in a tank like that. You know, harlequin resboras are a favorite of mine. Really like those, but there are lots you could look at. And white cloud mountain minnows are one that I've kept quite a few times, both long-finned and the wild-type white cloud mountain minnows. They can be a great fish in a planted tank. They really shine. Their colors get brighter, especially if the water's kind of acidic. You know, if you have CO2 injection or something is one way that I've done that. And their colors get quite rich. The males, when they flare at each other, are magnificent, and they don't do any damage to each other. They'll display for each other almost endlessly, but they won't damage each other. So it's fun to keep, you know, a small school with several males and females in there. They will reproduce fairly prolifically, but they won't do so much in warmer water. You know, the water has to be fairly cool, in maybe the lower 70s Fahrenheit, for them to really spawn much. And the babies, if you don't, you know, try to raise the babies specifically, then a few of them will probably grow up, but you won't have overpopulation issues in the tank with them either. So those are a couple of ideas. I would also maybe include a few Otocinclus, depending on the other fish you keep in there, especially if you keep tetras in the tank. Some Otocinclus could be good to help reduce algae.
Mm-hmm. Guppies.
You want to put guppies in there?
Guppies would reproduce good.
They would. They would. That's a great idea. I mean, guppies are a lot of fun. They're beautiful fish, but they would reproduce a lot.
Yeah, they have babies fast.
Yeah, although you could just put just males in there.
Okay, that's it.
Well, you girls are full of good ideas today, aren't you? Do male betas fight?
I mean, male guppies.
Oh, yes, male guppies sometimes do. Not nearly as much as male betas, but I have seen them, you know, attack each other a little bit. But you could usually keep a group of male guppies together, so that's an idea. You girls are having a lot of good ideas.
So would they, like, mouth-to-mouth...
bite at each other?
Yeah.
Not the same way that betas do, but I've seen them, like, bite each other a little bit.
Like, bonk each other in the mouth on purpose.
Well, I'm not sure if they do that as much as they just kind of bite at each other, but I haven't seen it very often, just once in a while. Like, once when I had just two male guppies in a tank or, you know, things
so
like that.
So, like, and there's just a couple, like, one sneaks up and bites them on the back or something.
Maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. And we should also mention, though, inverts. He was thinking about invertebrates. I would say a great candidate for the tank would be either red cherry shrimp or any other color of cherry shrimp. You know, you could get some blue ones or yellow ones or orange or whatever color strikes your fancy. That would be great.
What about candy cane stripes?
Ah, so Gwen, you mean like our peppermint shrimp that we had?
Yeah.
Well, peppermint shrimp are great. And if Matt decides he wants to set up a saltwater tank, then he could do that. I think he's thinking of a freshwater tank, but you really liked that peppermint shrimp, didn't you?
Yeah.
Those are great. I love peppermint shrimp too. What was that?
It was sad.
Yeah, it was sad when it passed away when we had that incident with the overfeeding, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I would say that shrimp are a great idea. And any color of red cherry shrimp would be great. Partly, not just because you said you wanted something that does not eat plants or dig them up. And cherry shrimp are, of course, a good example of that. But they also help control algae. They'll eat algae and you as one of their staples, and you do need to feed them supplementary food, but they will help keep algae off of plants if they're in a tank by themselves and reproducing. They'll reproduce a lot, but they won't cause issues in terms of bioload as much as some big-bodied fish would. Okay, and of course a mono shrimp would be another option. Not quite as colorful, but they're also effective at eating quite a few different types of algae, and then there are numerous other shrimps you could consider. Anything from crystal red shrimp and several other varieties. Of course, crystal red shrimp are a little bit less forgiving in terms of water conditions, so if you haven't done shrimp yet, might not have those as your first choice, but if you have, maybe that would be a direction to go. So thank you, Matt, and I hope those ideas spark something, and you can let us know what you decide to put in that 20-gallon. Okay, and our last one today is from David in Colorado, and a few weeks ago he emailed us and asked us for some tips on moving. He was going to move from Colorado to Iowa, and he says, as an update, after we helped him out with that, a few episodes ago, he says, "Hey, Aquariumaxers. Well, a lot of things changed between your wonderful advice to me and the date of my move. The entire move fell through, and I ended up not moving to Iowa as planned. Instead, I moved to a friend's house about 45 minutes from where I lived. Glad to say that every fish survived the short jaunt and are now happily living in their new location. So do the happy surface area dance. So go ahead, girls. Do the surface area dance. The happy one, not the sad one." Okay, too bad you can't see this. Because there's some very interesting dancing going on. Okay, thank you, girls.
Thank you, girls, for doing this happy surface area dance. We are glad that your fish survived, David, and did well, and glad our tips were able to help you out. And I just wanted to share one more anecdote with you all. The other day, I was at the betta tank, the one that holds most of the females and the few males that we haven't jarred yet from our betta breeding project. And Isaac was staring intently, our son Isaac was staring intently into the tank. And I came over and looked at him, and he said, he turned to me and he said, "So, in order of reverse toxicity, it's nitrate, nitrite, and then ammonia, right?" And I was taken aback because I hadn't had any conversations with him about these things that I recall. I mean, we've talked about raising the bettas and doing different things, but I don't think we had talked about the nitrates and cycle in detail, and I was just surprised by that. I said, "Where did you hear about that?" And he said, "Oh, I just picked things up." Just picked it up somewhere, something like that. So I thought that was cool. He surprised me. It's just fun to see all of the kids learning so much about fish through this experience and enjoying lots of the aspects of raising them. Oh, it sounds like Gwen has a comment.
This is something funny about one of the parents of the baby bettas.
Okay. Go ahead and speak
it
up and tell us.
It was a boy that was super, super gentle. He didn't even...
And friendly.
Yeah. He didn't even touch the girl.
He was very nice to her, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, and she... And since we don't... And because we don't have a lot, it was because he was so nice that he let She-Ra, our girl beta, eat most of the eggs.
Yeah, but it's true she ate some of the eggs. Yeah, thank you for that comment, Gwen. And Laurelyn, did you have one to say too?
No, I was just doing shadow puppet.
Okay, well, all right, I think that's about all for this episode. So, we would like to say...
May the fish be with you!
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.